Okay, good evening all. We are up to Hey Amar Aleph in Tainus. We are about seven lines down from the top at the Mishnah. So if you remember, up until now, we've basically been discussing everything that you would like to know about Mashav HaRuach U'Merid HaGeshem. The Mishnah now makes a shift, and instead of talking about Mashav HaRuach U'Merid HaGeshem, which we call Mazkir HaSegeshem, which we call mentioning the rain, now we're going to switch to Sho'alin HaSegeshem, which means to ask for the rain, which in our davening, that's what Satan Talon Mazra Levrach. Okay, so let's see what the Mishnah has to say. Seven lines down from the top. Ad Masai Sho'alin HaSegeshem, until when do we ask for the rain? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ad She'avar Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda says we ask for rain until Pesach is over. So through the end of Pesach, Rabbi Meir Omer Ad She'itzei Nisan. We say the same Talmud Shel Bracha until the very last day of Nisan, until the end of Nisan. Where do you get that from? Shenemar V'yorei Lachem Geshem More Umalkush Barishol. Because there's a pasuk that can be found in Yoel that says that he made the rain fall for them. Mora Umalkush, it was Mora and Malkush rain, which we'll explain in the Gemara in a moment. And when did this all happen? Berishon, in the first month. And the Navi doesn't give a specific end time when that happened in Nisan, or a specific date in Nisan. So we assume it rained the entire Nisan. And so therefore, that's why Rabbi Meir says, you ask for rain up until the end of Nisan, that's when the rainy season is over. Okay, let's see what the Gemara has to say. Amar Le Rav Nachman Le Rabbi Yitzchak. So this, basically the entire daf is going to be statements that Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yitzchak are going to be speaking, and then they're going to quote Rabbi Yochanan to prove or bring something up. So let's see again what the Gemara has to say. Amar Le Rav Nachman Le Rabbi Yitzchak. Rav Nachman says to Rabbi Yitzchak, Yoreb Nisan, Yoreb Amar Cheshvan Hu. So, crash course in how to understand these different words. So Yore is a reference to the first rains. Malkush is a reference to the final rains of the season. So says the Gemara, says Rav Nachman to Rabbi Yitzchak, the Yore rains are going to fall in Nisan. What are you talking about? We know that the Yore rains fall in Mar Cheshvan at the beginning of the season. So says the Gemara, the Girsa is changed. It's not but it's Ditania. So Ditania, Yore and Mar Cheshvan and Malkush Benisan. There's a brisa that says explicitly when do the Yore rains fall? They fall in Mar Cheshvan. When do the Malkush rains fall? They fall in Nisan. So how could it be that both the Yore and the Malkush rains, according to the pasuk in Yoel, how could it be that they're both falling in Nisan? So he answers, Amar Le Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. He says back to him, this is what Rabbi Yochanan said. Bime Yoel ben Pesuel, in the days of the Navi Yoel ben Pesuel, Niskaye Mikrazeh. The following pasuk was fulfilled, Dichtiv Be Yeser HaGezem Achal HaArba. The food that was left over by the locust. Gezem is a type of locust. So all the food that was left over by the locust, achal arba, this other type of locust ate it. So in other words, it was a time of serious drought. It was a time of serious plagues. The locusts kept coming. So that's why the rains fell later in the season, because there was all these locust plagues. There was all these famines. So the rain only came very, very late in the year. Says the Gemara, what exactly happened on that year? Ose Shana Yatsa Adar. On that year, the month of Adar, right? So right around Purim time, the month of Adar went out. V'lo yardu geshamim. It still had not rained at all that season. So therefore, Yarda Lehem Reviyah Rishona Be'echad Benisan. On the first of Nisan, they had a few. They had the first rainfall that finally came. Amar lehem Navi Yisrael, and once that rain came, which seemed to indicate that the famine was finally over, so Amar lehem Navi Yisrael. So the Navi said to the Jewish people, "Tzu v'zaru, go out and sow the crops. Go out and plant your seeds. And when you plant your seeds, you'll see the more rain will come, and the plants will grow." Amar lo, so they said back to him, "Are you kidding me? Mishi yishlo kav chitim o kavim sor, and a person who has like one kav of chitim and two kavim of barley, which is not that much. Yochan." But Yechiah, should he eat them, right? So should he eat these few seeds or grains that he has of Yechiah and he'll live? Or should he plant them in the ground and he'll really have no food at all and then he'll die? Amar Lehem says the Navi to them, Afal Pike, nonetheless, even though you're not going to have anything left, Su'u Vizaru, go out and sow the fields, go out and plant these final seeds or grains that you have. Nasa Lehem, Nason, at that moment a miracle happened for them. And it's Gala Lehem, Masha Bekosa, Masha Bechori Nimalam. At that moment, it was revealed to them that there was all this food that appeared in the walls and all this food that appeared in the ant holes. Now, when you think about it, that doesn't sound very appetizing. Food that's going to come on your ant hole. If you see some food on the ground in front of your house, you're not going to pick it up and eat it, but you have to understand this is the time of famine, so there's not much food. So even the food on top of the ant holes, we'll see, is pretty appetizing, as we'll see later on in this Amud, that they ate a lot worse things than food that was on the ant holes. So food appeared for them over there, and so therefore they decided to plant. So therefore, what happened? Yatsu, they went out Bizarro, and they planted Sheni Vishlishi Verevi. They planted on the second, the third, and the fourth of Nisan. So again, the first rain came on the first of Nisan. Then they planted on the second, third, and fourth. V'yard zalehem revia shnia b'chamisha b'nisan. And then a second rain came on the fifth of Nisan. Hikrivu omer b'shisha asar b'nisan. And then on the 16th of Nisan, as they normally would, they brought the omer offering. And so how could it be? So they planted on the second, third, and fourth of Nisan, and then just 11 days later, they had a crop to bring as an offering. Says the Gemara, yeah. Nimseis tzavua hagdila b'shisha chadashim gadila b'achad asar yom. Normally a crop, normally the grains that take 6 months to grow, it grew in just 11 days. So what happened? Nimsa omer hikrev mitzvua shal shisha chadashim karev mitzvua shal achad asar yom. So what ended up happening? They brought an omer offering that normally it's brought from a grain that grows for 6 months. They brought it from a crop that took only 11 days to grow. V'al oso hador hu omer. And on this exact generation, the pasuk says, the very famous pasuk that we say at least every Shabbos, in Shir HaMalos, hazorim bedima verine yiksoru, that they sowed when they planted the seeds. They planted it so bedema, with tears. They were crying as they were planting. So in other words, the way we explained the Gemara previously was that the Navi said, go out and plant the crops, go out and plant the seeds. And then all of a sudden, this food appeared to them. And so it turns out they weren't so sad, and so they, because they had extra food, so then they planted. Says the way the Gemara is reading now, that no, the Pasuk says that they were totally in tears because the food hadn't even appeared to them yet. What happened? They went out and sowed the field, they planted the crops, and then only once they came back, they saw that there was food in their walls and on the anthill. So again, so the Pasuk says, Hazor and Bedima, when they planted the crops and they sowed the field, they were doing so crying, but then they were in such joy when they harvested the field. Just a few days later, they harvested with such joy. Then the Gemara is going to continue to darshan. So the pasuk says that you're going and crying, and you're going to be carrying like a container of seeds. So I don't understand. Just a second ago, we said that the earlier pesukim in Shir HaMalos were talking about the people who, and we know, they planted the crops, and we know then that they harvested the crops. So what's this now? They're going and crying and carrying more crops or carrying more seeds. They just did this. So says the Gemara, "My halo cheli chuvach nosei meshach." What's the pasuk talking about? Amar Yehuda. We're not talking about people anymore. We're talking about the oxen. Shor kishu choresh holich uvoche. When the ox is plowing the field. So basically, the way the Mefarshim understand this is that they were planting the seeds, and simultaneously while they were planting the seeds, the ox would come by and plow over the seeds. And as he was plowing the seeds, he was going and he was crying because he's like, oh my gosh, we don't have any food left. But when he walked back, when he went back the other way, it was an unbelievable miracle. He was eating the newly sprouted green that came out just moments after the seeds were planted in the ground. So this is what it means, that he's returning. He comes back with joy because the ox comes back after he was crying when he saw all the food was going away. He came back in joy because he was reaping all of the green that had now just... Sorry, he was eating all of the green that had now just grown. Now the Gemara continues to darshan the pesukim. My no se'el umosav. We know what comes after that. The words no se'el umosav, that he was carrying his sheaves. So what is the meaning of these words? So if we take a look real quick in the wide lines of Rashi at the bottom of the Gemara, so the third line down, so Rashi is a different girsa. It's not my no se'el umosav, but rather it's my boyev overina no se'el umosav. What does it mean that they were in joy in carrying their sheaves? So again, we had one pasuk that said that they were crying and then they were in joy, and that was talking about the people. We had another pasuk that said that they were crying and then enjoy. So that was talking about the ox. What's this pasuk talking about? They were joy and carrying their sheaves. What's this about? Amar Rav Chista, Vamrei Lava Masista Tana. So some say that Rav Chista taught the following, and some say that was taught in a Braisa. Kana Zeres Shibolas Zarasim was talking about the unbelievable crops that grew that year. So what kind of crops were they? Well, the stalks of the grain, they were one hand span long, and the ears, the Shibolas, were two hand spans long. So what's the big deal? So Rashi explains, we're not going to look at it inside, but Rashi explains, normally when you have a stalk and you have an ear on this piece of grain, so the stalk is usually three or four times the size of the ear of grain. And so over here we now have the ear that's double the size of the stalk, which was an unbelievable miracle, and it shows how incredible the crop was that year. Okay, so that was Adkan. Amar Leir of Nachman Rabbi Yitzchak. Now Rav Nachman says to Rabbi Yitzchak, what's the meaning of the pasuk that says Kikara Hashem L'Ra'av, that Hashem called, He decreed that there was going to be a famine, Vegam Ba El Ha'aretz Sheva Shanim, and it's going to come onto the land for 7 years. So says the Gemara, Bahanach Shevashanim, my achol. So we see that this famine was 7 years. So what did they eat during the 7 years? So this is an unbelievable Gemara now. Amar lehachi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. He says back to him, this is what Rabbi Yochanan explained. What did they eat for 7 years? Shana Rishona, achlu mashe b'batim. In the first year, they ate what they had in their homes. Shnia, achlu mashe b'sadot. In the second year, they had what was in their fields. Shlishes, in the third year, basar behema tohora. In the third year, they ate all the kosher animals. Revias, basar behema tamea. In the fourth year, they were really starting to get desperate, so they ate all the unkosher animals. Chamishes, basar shkatz mermasim. Now in the fifth year, they got even more desperate, and they were eating the rodents and the different creepy crawling creatures on the ground. That's what they eat in the fifth year. Shishas basar b'nei mu'nosem. In the sixth year, they eat their children. Shvias basar z'rosem. And in the seventh year, they eat the flesh off their very own arms. L'kayim ashen amar. This was in order to fulfill what the pasuk says. Ish basar z'ro'o yochlu. That a man will eat the flesh off his arm. Okay, now. So now we're finished, seemingly, with what happened in the times of Yoel. The Gemara is going to shift to a different discussion. Of Amar Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yitzchak, Rav Nachman says to Rabbi Yitzchak, "My dichtiv b'kirbecha kadosh v'lo avo b'ir." The pasuk says there's something b'kirbecha kadosh, like in your midst, there's something holy v'lo avo b'ir. But God says, "I'm not going to come into your city." Says the Gemara, "What? Mishum b'kirbecha kadosh, because there's holiness in your midst v'lo avo b'ir. I'm not going to come into your city." We think the exact opposite. Whenever there's holiness, God wants to come. Says the Gemara, no. Amar Lei, he says back to him, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. This is what Rabbi Yochanan said to explain this. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Avo B'Yerushalayim Shalamala. God is not going to go into the Yerushalayim that's up in the heavens. Ad Shavo L'Yerushalayim Shalamata. God says he's going to exile himself from the Yerushalayim up top in the heavens until he gets to come back into the Yerushalayim Shalamata, into the rebuilt Yerushalayim on planet Earth. Says the Gemara, what? Umi Ika Yerushalayim Shalamala? Is there really an upper realms Yerushalayim? Is there really a Yerushalayim in the sky? Says the Gemara, yeah. In. Yeah, 100%. How do you know this? Dichtiv, the pasuk says, Yerushalayim habenuyak ir shechubra layechtav, that the built Yerushalayim will be like the ear that is connected to it. So again, Rashi has a beautiful comment. Let's take a look at the Rashi inside. Excuse me, four lines up from the bottom of Rashi over there. And if you're counting down, it's 2, 4, 6, 7 lines. 7 lines into the wide Rashi's. Yerushalayim habenuyak ir shechubra layechtav. Yerushalayim shalamata tehei benuyak ir shechubra la. So Rashi explains that the Yerushalayim down below is going to be like the city that's connected to it. Shehi kiyotei ba chaver tzalei. It's going to be like its friend. The digmasa mechlal deikli Yerushalayim achariti, which means that if it's going to be like its friend, that means there has to be another Yerushalayim. And where is this other Yerushalayim? Hichan im lo lemala. And Rashi says, where is the other Yerushalayim if not in the sky? So that's how we know this pasuk proves that there is a second Yerushalayim. There's a Yerushalayim in the sky. Okay, so we're now about 5 lines up from the bottom in the back of the Gemara. V'amar le'Rav Nachman Rabbi Yitzchak, Rav Nachman says to Rabbi Yitzchak, "My dechtilu va'achas yivaru v'yichsalu musar havalam etzu." So a very confusing pasuk. The basic translation is that it says they are all together senseless and stupid, a rebuke of vanities. Each one is wooden. So it's seemingly talking about the Jewish people, that it's impossible to rebuke them, that they do terrible things. Amar le'i says back to him, so what does this pasuk mean? Hachi amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan explains this pasuk. Achas hi shemiva'eris rishayim ebegehenim. There is one thing explains this pasuk, that causes the wicked people to be burned up in Gehenna. My he, what is it? Avodah Zarah. Person who does idol worship, that's going to cause a person to get burned up. Kisiv Hacha, how do you know this? Because Kisiv Hacha, Musar Havalim Eitzu, because the Pasuk has the words Musar Havalim Eitzu, that the word Hevel is there, which means like vanities. Kisiv Hasman, it says over there, Hevel Hima Maset Tatuim, talking about how like stupid and pointless Avodah Zarah is, it uses the word Hevel. So we have one Pasuk that talks about Avodah Zarah that uses the word Hevel, so we connect it back to our Pasuk that uses the word Hevel and says, it must be that what's the thing that causes the wicked people to burn in the Gehenna, it must be that which is associated with Hevel, which is Avodah Zarah. Okay. What does it mean when the Pasuk says that the Jewish people did Kishtayim Ra'os, the two wicked things Asaimi, my nation, has done? Tartin hu dahavu? The Jewish people only did two bad things? Asar nevi arba shvikalu? We know the Jewish people did 24 bad things, not just two bad things. Take a look at the bottom Rashi, the very last line of the Rashi's. So it could be on the one hand that maybe the Jewish people actually had 24 specific averos that they violated, or another possibility, shavru al chavdal tzvarim, they actually violated the 24 books of Tanakh. We know there are 24 books in the entire Tanakh, so either the when it says they violated 24, either 24 sins, or they violated all 24 books of Tanakh. Okay, so what in the world is going on? How could the pasuk say that they only violated two things? We know they violated 24 things. The final line, last line of the Gemara, Amar lehachi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. He says back to him, this is what Rabbi Yochanan says. Achas shehi, we're on the top of Hei Amabez now. Shekula kishtayim. So what's wrong? What did they do wrong? It wasn't that they did two things wrong. Rather, they did one of the 24 things they did that were wrong. It's equal to two. It's like two of them. Umayin yu, and what's this thing that's this single avera that's as bad as two averos? Avodah Zarah. They violated Avodah Zarah, and that's as bad as two things. How do we know that Avodah Zarah is as bad as two different averos? Well, we have a long few pasukim over here. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, Kishtayim ra'us asayimi, right? That's the beginning of the pasuk. Osi azu makor mayim chayim. So again, the Jewish people did two bad things, and then they left the makor mayim chayim, the source of the living water, that's God. Lachtsov lahem be'eros nishbarim. So in order to hew out for themselves, either like wells or like cisterns and like broken cisterns. That's what one pasuk says. When it says about these people, or it says about this, Ki avru, and the next pasuk continues, so again, what are these pasukim saying? So the first pasuk that we quoted that starts with Ki Avru, for go to the isles of the Kitim, a different nation, and see what's going on over there. And then the pasuk says, and also send to Kedar and consider like what's going on over there again. The next pasuk, why? What's happening? They have their gods, and they never switch from their gods. They always have the same gods. V'yami, and then God says, my nation, himir kibodo, below you will. They have no issue switching away from their gods. So it says, the Gemara Tana was taught, kutiyim, ovdim le'ish, v'kidrayim, ovdin lamayim. The two nations that seemingly were being spoken about in this pasuk. So the kutiyim, or at least as the pasuk says, the kutiyim, they used to serve fire, and the kedarim, they used to serve water. And what's crazy about this? V'afal pi sheyodim shehamayim mechaben es eish. Even though they knew that the water would destroy the fire, still they served both these meaningless gods of water and fire. Lo himir elohim. They still didn't move away from their gods. V'yami himir kvodi below you will. And nonetheless, even you have these nations who serve such meaningless gods, because one god could easily extinguish the other god, and they don't move away from their gods, but still the Jewish people, they move away from their gods. So what are the two things that they do wrong? So one is that they move away from their god, okay, that's one. Two, they move to a lesser god, right? So these other nations, they have this inferior god and they never leave him. Jewish people have the best god in the world, and nonetheless they still leave him, they still do Avodah Zarah. Okay, an entirely different topic now, but continuing with this theme of Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yochanan. V'amar le'Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yitzchak, Rav Nachman says to Rabbi Yitzchak, my dechtiv ve'hi kasher zakin Shmuel. What does it mean when the pasuk says that Shmuel was old? Umi says Shmuel kuli hai, was Shmuel really that old? V'ha bar nun beis havo, he was 52, when he died he was 52. How do we know? Damar mar mis v'nun beis shana zehu misaso shel Shmuel haramasi. Because we have another statement that says that if a person dies at the age of 52, it's okay, it's good to die at that age. War, it's not good to die, but that it's comparable to the death of Shmuel Haramasi. So we know, therefore, that Shmuel was 52 when he passed away. So he wasn't that old when he passed away then, so how could I say that he was old? Amar lehachi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. He says, this is what Rabbi Yochanan said to explain this. Zikna kafza alav, that he never was that old, but rather that old age sort of like jumped on him. He aged very quickly. Dichtev nichamti kimlachti yashol. So the Gemara is going to explain, what does it mean that he aged very quickly? Well, the Pasuk says that nichamti kimlachti yashol, that God regretted having made Shaul a ruler, that God regretted having made Shaul the king. You remember, he was the first king of the Jewish people. Amar lefanav, so Shmuel said to Hashem, Ribono Shalom, Master of the Universe, Sheklasani Kemoshe V'Aaron, you have weighed me against Moshe and Aaron. Dichtev Moshe V'Aaron, Nechuanav, Shmuel, B'Koresh, Moshe, we say this every week in Kabbalah Shabbos, right? So we know on one side of the Pasuk we have Moshe and Aaron, and on the other side of the Pasuk we have Shmuel, which means Shmuel is saying to God that I am equal to you like both Moshe and Aaron combined. And says Shmuel, very smart, Ma Moshe V'Aaron, Lo Bitlu Ma Seh Yideyem B'Chayehem, just like when it came to Moshe and Aaron, that the work of their hands was not nullified in their days. What does it mean, the work of their hands? The Mefarshim explain that their student, Yoshua, he didn't die in their days. So says Shmuel, if I am equal to them, so therefore you should not nullify my work in my day. So therefore you shouldn't let Shaul die, right? Because if God did not like Shaul being king, then God would have taken away from being king by killing him. So says Shmuel, you can't kill him because you didn't kill Yoshua in Moshe and Aaron's days, and if I'm equal to them, therefore you can't kill my Talmud, you can't kill Shaul in my days. So therefore God has a bit of a quandary here. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Heichi Avid. God says, what am I going to do now? Limos Shaul? Should I kill Shaul? I can't. Lo kash shavik Shmuel. Shmuel is not going to be very happy if I kill Shaul. Limos Shmuel azutark. Should I kill Shmuel at a young age and then I'll kill Shaul after that? Because he can't get mad at me then? No, I can't do that. Why? Meiranani abasra. Because then people are going to start suspecting that maybe he did something wrong. That's why he died at a young age. So lo limos Shaul, lo limos Shmuel. So God says, okay, fine. So if I can't kill Shmuel and I can't kill Shaul, then maybe, okay, I just won't kill either one. I won't kill Shmuel or Shaul, but I can't do that, says God. Why? Because kvar higi amalchus David. Because the kingship of the time for the kingship of David has already arrived, and we have a rule. Ve'in malchus no ges bechaverta afilu kimlo nema. That two kingships cannot overlap even like a hair breadth amount. So therefore, if the time for if the time has come for David to rule and Shaul can't be king, and I can't kill Shaul and I can't kill Shmuel, so what am I going to do? So therefore, it says God Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, God has a solution. Akvitz alav zikna. I'm going to make Shmuel look very old, and then I'll kill him. Haynu dichtev Shaul yoshev begiva tachas ha'ish al berima. And so this is what the pasuk is talking about when it says that Shaul sat in Giva under the Ishal, under the tree in Ramah. So it doesn't make any sense, says the Gemara. Why? Because V'chi ma'inyan Giva Itzal Ramah. These are two places. You have a place called Giva and you have a place called Ramah. What in the world does Giva have to do with Ramah? How can you sit in Giva under the tree in Ramah? So Ela Lomar Lecha, this tells us, Mi garam l'shol she'ishe v'giva shtei shanim m'mechza tefila so shashmolar amasi. Says the Gemara, what caused Shaul to have the opportunity to live for 2.5 years in Giva to serve as the king? Answers the Gemara, the tefillah of the davening of Shmuel Haramasi. So in other words, how do you read the pasuk going back to it? So Shaul sat in Giva under Ha'ishal, under the tree. What's the tree? The tree over here is Shmuel. Under Shmuel, the tree, who was from Ramah. Okay, so that's how the Gemara explains what happened. Shmuel aged very quickly at a young age, so he wasn't technically that old in years, but in terms of how he looked very old. God then killed him, and then he was able to kill Shaul. Okay. Let's see what the Gemara has to say next. Umi midchi gavra mikme gavra? So I don't understand something. Are we allowed to push away one man for the sake of another? God's going to kill one guy. So God's going to kill Shmuel. God's going to kill Shaul so that David could take over. It says the Gemara, in. Yeah, you better bet. So God could do whatever he wants. How do we know? Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmini. Amar Rabbi, it says Yochanan in the parentheses, but we changed the gears up if you look on top to Yonasan. So Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmini. Amar Rabbi Yonasan. My dichtiv al kin chatsapti benavim higratim ve'imrei fi. Pazik says that therefore I have hewn out by the prophets. I have killed them with the words of my mouth. So what does it mean that God killed them with the words of his mouth? The pasuk doesn't say because of their actions God killed them. Ela be'imrei fi. Rather, it says that God killed them by the word of his mouth. What does this show us? Alma mitchei gavra mikmei gavra. It shows us that God can take away one man and for the place of another. God can do whatever he wants. God just killed them because he wanted to kill them. For whatever reason, God has his ways. So God does have the right to do that. Okay, new topic. Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yitzchak, Kabu Yasvei, Vesudasa. Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yitzchak were sitting and enjoying a nice meal. Amar le Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yitzchak. Rav Nachman says to Rabbi Yitzchak, Leimam Ar Mil says, because, you know, sometimes you say around the table, tell me something, give me a Dvar Torah. Amar le Hachi, he says the following to him. He says, this is what Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said the following, Ein Masichin Mesuda, Shemayaktim Kana Leveshet, Vayavoli Yisakana. He says, that Rabbi Yochanan has a teaching. Don't talk during your meal. Don't talk with your mouth full, right? Don't talk during a meal, because what's going to happen? Maybe the food will get to your windpipe before it gets to your esophagus, and then you're going to, God forbid, choke. It'll lead to a sakana. So therefore, you can't talk during the meal. So that made him be quiet. He no longer spoke during the meal. But that says the Gemara, what happened? We're in the first wide line of Ham and Bays. Basar desa, now after the meal, because he couldn't talk during, Amar lehachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. He says the following, that this is what Rabbi Yochanan said. You know, crazy idea. Yaakov Avinu lomes, that Yaakov Avinu never died. Amar le v'chi b'chdei safto safdaniya v'chantu chantaniya v'kavru kavraya. So what are you talking about that he never died? The people that eulogized him, and the people that embalmed him, and the people that buried him, they did it for naught. They did it for no reason whatsoever. Clearly he died because they went through the actions of what you would do for a dead person. They eulogized him, they embalmed him, and they buried him. Amar le mikra anidor. He says, no, listen, I'm darshening, I'm expounding a pasuk. Shenemar, the pasuk says, v'ata al tira abde Yaakov num Hashem. The pasuk says, don't fear my servant Yaakov, God says. V'al tachas Yisrael ki hineni moshiach ha-merachok v'asarech ha-meretz shavim. And to my broken Israel, don't worry, I'm going to save you from afar, and your seeds, I'm going to redeem them from the land of captivity. Says the Gemara, Makish Hulazaro. So therefore, we're connecting Yaakov Avinu to his children, to his seeds. Ma Zaro Bechayim, Avu Bechayim. Just like his seeds are going to be redeemed, and they're going to be alive. That's how you get redeemed. You have to be alive. So too, Yaakov must be alive. So in other words, what? Since when the children of Yaakov are going to be redeemed, they're going to be alive, and Yaakov is going to be alive, then also it must mean that Yaakov Avinu never died. Okay, fine. Another statement. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak kol omer Rachav, Rachav midei nekre. Rabbi Yitzchak says anyone who says the name Rachav twice is going to become a balkari, will immediately have a seminal emission. So Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman says to him, Ana mina, what are you talking about? I do that all the time. Lo ech pasli, and I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I'm not concerned that I'm going to become a balkari, that I'm going to have a seminal mission. So then Rabbi Yitzchak has to explain himself. Amar le ki kamina biyoda uvamakira. No. When I said what I said, that anyone who says Rachav's name, evidently, you're only going to become a balkari if you know her. right? Because only people who knew her were able to remember how beautiful she was, and then just by thinking about her, they'd become a Balkari. If you don't know who she is, then okay, you can say her name as many times as you want. It's not going to make you Balkari because you don't know what you're thinking about when you say her name. Okay, finally, the last story of the Gemara, the last story that we're going to deal with this evening. Kihavu miftarei mehadadi. When Rav Nachman was leaving from Yiv Yitzchak, Amar le Livarchan Mar. So he says to him, give me a blessing, my master. The famous Gemara, this is the Gemara we're going to read, is a famous song. Amar le, he says to him, Em Sholecha Mashal Ma'adaradomar. I'm going to give you a parable to what this request that you're making of me is comparable. What is it like? La'adam Shaya Hulich Ba'midbar. It's like a person who was walking in the desert. Vaya Re'i Vayif Itzama. And he was tired, he was hungry, he was tired, and he was thirsty. Umatza Ilan Shapiro Sametukin. And he found a tree whose fruits were so sweet. Vitzilo Na'en, his shade was so nice. Amas Hamayim Overes Tachtav, and he had a beautiful stream of water underneath him, the tree. Acham Perosav Shasim Meimav Vyasha Betzilo. He ate from his fruits and he drank from his water, and he sat under its shade. Ukeshabikeshlech. And when the man wanted to leave from the tree, he says the famous song Amar Ilan Ilan Bama Varecha. He says, tree, O tree, with what can I bless you? Should I say to you, give you a bracha that your fruit should become sweet? I can't, because your fruit are already sweet. Should I give you a blessing that your shade should be nice? I can't, because your shade is already nice. Should I give you a blessing that there should be a water of there should be a body of water flowing beneath you? I can't, because you already have a body of water flowing beneath you. Ella, what am I going to give you as a blessing? I give you a blessing that all the saplings that come from you should be just like you. They should have as blessed of a life as you have. Finally, he says the Gemara on the top of Vav and Aleph, he says back to him, the same thing. With what can I give you a blessing? In Betorah Hare Torah. If I want to give you a blessing about Torah, you already have Torah. Parenthetically, I heard a really beautiful idea. It doesn't make any sense. So what? So someone has Torah, even the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world, obviously he hasn't learned all Torah. There's always new aspects of Torah. So what does it mean? Torah, okay, so it's a question maybe we'll deal with in the WhatsApp, but it's a beautiful question. Nonetheless, that's what he said. In Betorah Hare Torah. If I want to give you a blessing about Torah, Hare Torah, you already have Torah. In Be'osha Hare Osha. If I want to give you a blessing to become wealthy, you already have wealth. If I'd want to give you a blessing to have children, you already have children. Rather, I give you a blessing that your children should be just like you. Look at the top line of Rashi. What does it mean, just like you? That they should have Torah, they should have wealth, and according to Rashi, at least according to this text, that they should have honor. Marsha changed the text that it shouldn't be kavod. He says that it actually, to make it perfectly parallel, should be that they should have children as well, just like he had children as well. Okay, that brings us to the end of the daf for this week, and God willing, next time we'll continue with daf vav, but for now, we'll stop right here.